the People's Podcast.
From the center of the universe, Hagerstown, Maryland, it's Hub City's own The Hub Show. Podcasting and broadcasting about news, views, local business and events, health, pop culture, everything and nothing. And now, here's your host, Jay Heisch.
Check. Rant and Ray, this is Jay Heisch with The Hub Show. We are coming from the top of Hagerstown, the top of Hub City. We are South Potomac Street.
Woohoo!
Hey!
That's right. We're at the Elliott Bester House, 207.
That's right. Yeah. We got a new home.
Newcastle. That's right. We're moving on up to the east side.
Yeah. Oh, like the Jeffersons.
Something like that, right. With us today, our guest, Chris Canfield.
Hello.
From Evolutionary Design, all about basically you build stuff.
Yeah, we build stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, what type of build are you doing?
My hands move, and I.
Whatever happens.
Things happen.
Really?
Yeah. You specialize in kitchen cabinets or any type of cabinet?
Whatever you need.
All hands on the table.
I will do it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The woodwork king.
He's a woodman,
right?
You're a carpenter, basically.
Yeah, glorified carpenter.
But you also work with metal too and everything else.
Yeah, yeah. So sometimes
pretty much a jack of all of it, jack of all trades.
Yeah, yeah. Sort of an artisan, I suppose. More, you know, I'm not into framing and drywall and all that kind of stuff. I'm into, you know.
But you can do it if you have
building spiral staircases and that sort of thing.
Oh,
challenging
awesome.
Stuff, right?
Yeah.
You know, pianos and things like that.
Yeah. I used to make guitars.
Did you really?
Really?
That was my first job. Yeah.
That you made awesome. You made guitars? You give
like
them your
acoustic,
name? Like I play a Canfield? Like you play a...
Used to work for Beard Guitars.
Really?
Yeah. And he makes... he's like one of the only people, I think, in the country that makes dobros.
Okay.
Like high-end dobros.
Mm. Oh.
I know he's the only person that has the machine that presses out the cones, the metal cones.
Talking shop here. All right, man. Yeah, machines.
So where are you located?
Where am I located? I got an office out of my house, and I have a shop in Sharpsburg.
All right. Okay. So you're local.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. But you live here in Hagerstown?
Yeah.
Are you born and raised pretty much in Hagerstown?
Born and raised in Sharpsburg, Antietam Battlefield.
What's the difference? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know,
Hagerstown, the surrounding areas.
I was a little dirt road kid who rode my bicycle on the Antietam Battlefield.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Only
yeah, raised at a dead end road. You know, no neighbors.
Oh, you were that guy.
Surrounded
by Jeffrey Dahmer type.
Surrounded by cow patties. And
you weren't into roadkill or dead animals or anything, were you, as a kid? Okay, good. Okay.
No. That's all he had was to play with the wood.
I might have poked some with a stick.
Let me dig up some of the Civil War.
I used to race pill bugs. I used to dig up pill bugs, and then I'd put them in little tracks and race them.
And today they have Twitter.
That's what you do for entertainment.
Today they have Twitter and the internet.
So tell me about one of your master crafts that you've done here. Can you tell us a place where we can go see
you're most proud of?
Oh my goodness!
There's lots of them around here in Hagerstown.
Yeah, I can't drive from point A to point B without pointing at least five or six places I've done.
Okay.
Cool. There was a coffee shop up here on Potomac Street a couple years ago. It shut down. It's not there anymore.
Like a lot of stores.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
There was Catania Cabinets that was out on the north end.
Okay.
I built their whole like reception area for them. Who else in Hagerstown? Potomac Edison did some work out of Potomac Edison. Built
like in
some
their offices. I got you.
Oh, awesome. There.
Yeah, because when I met you, we went and talked last weekend. We went to Benny's Pub.
Yep. Oh, Benny's Pub. Yep. I've done three bars at Benny's Pub.
Awesome.
I built a bar at I built a bar and all the tables out at Antietam Brewery.
Plug.
I did everything at Zafira,
which
is now something else. It's called. What is that called now? Do you know?
No, I don't know.
I have no idea,
everything's
man.
Changed so
We're
quickly,
you.
Right?
From
I know.
Around in Hagerstown,
it's like a block and a half from here. It's like right up there where the hookah shop used to be.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it. It's in the window. The Zafira name is still there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
no
longer that.
That's the case downtown.
A lot of names and windows, but they're not there anymore.
Yeah, right. I thought I saw on Facebook that it's going by a different name now.
So. Oh, okay.
They just haven't cleaned the window yet. Okay.
I suppose.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I've got the whole back bar there,
City,
and
baby.
The whole bar in the front.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I know I had to come check you out for my wet bar that I'm needing to get built.
Right.
Yeah.
And hey, I was listening to some earlier podcasts.
That's right.
I'm going to need some help fixing my credit.
Oh, I am the one for that.
See how I bring people together?
This yes, yes, yes. Jay, you're yeah. you're clever tell you like what, that.
The Hub Show did it. All right, man.
We're all about connecting people.
Right.
So born and raised out here, Sharpsburg, in the area, whatever. You're about your mid-30s. How old are you?
37. 37.
And you've been doing the woodwork and work with your hands since?
Since I was 14.
Really? And that's all yeah. you've done?
That's since? All I've that, done. Yep.
But you love doing it, right?
I fell in love with it passion. When I was 14 and just kept on going. Yeah.
23 years later.
Dropped out of high school. Mm-hmm. So.
Really?
You know, I wouldn't. I wouldn't promote that.
No.
But, you know, it worked out for me.
It worked out for you.
Because
right?
I found something I was passionate about and just kind of grabbed onto it, mm-hmm. grafted myself.
Now,
into
do
it.
You agree to, like, you know, a lot of kids, they want to go straight to college. And I'm not knocking college because, you know, I attended college, got 2 degrees. My daughter attended college. But, you know, I have a son that didn't want to go to college. He wanted to do, just, you know, learn a trade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and I want to promote tradesman style work because that tradesmanship is going to carry you through just like a education at right. a less expensive cost.
Yeah.
So, can you tell some young kids that's probably listening,
what to do,
so what to do, how to get there and, you know, get a vision about
well,
it.
Well, I just found something that I really loved. Like my dad had a little wood shop up above his garage and we would go up there and just make stupid little stuff, you know, mm-hmm. jigsaw puzzles or whatever when I was like 8 years old or something mm-hmm. like that. But it never really catched on to anything. And then I went to, got in high school, you go in shop class mm-hmm. and there you're making clocks and birdhouses and stupid
yeah,
little
that.
Crap there. And none of that really
everything turned into an
either.
Ashtray.
Yes. I got plenty of ashtrays at home.
Ashtrays.
Yeah.
But, you know, over the summer in high school, 1 year, I got a job just sweeping floors at a wood shop and just looking at the guitars that they were turning out.
Yeah, what they were
like
doing.
Super high end stuff, you know, mm-hmm. and they were, you know, we repaired, Santana's guitar.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Carlos.
Yeah, sold a guitar to Alison Krauss, sold nice. A guitar to John Fogerty.
Nice.
And all this stuff was like going on when I was really young and I just kind of like was thrown back about it, mm-hmm. you know, and to see like how all the wood, all the different ways that you can like pattern it mm-hmm. and, you know, you can do, you know, quarter matching, book matching, mm-hmm. you know, all kinds of stuff, doing marquetry and inlays mm-hmm. and, so I started doing stuff on the side. I would just after work was done, I would just hang out at the shop and just make stuff for myself. I was making chess boards and you know, Lazy Susans and stuff you use around the kitchen, like recipe boxes. I mean,
right.
I turned some
anything
salt
but birdhouses.
Yeah. Yeah, I turned some salt and pepper shakers, which was really neat.
Oh, yeah.
First time I ever made a salt and pepper shaker with the grinder. We
oh,
actually
awesome.
Turned the top of
That's
it.
That's my
stuff.
Favorite.
Yeah. Yep. And then I started selling stuff at Boonesboro Days when I was
no sir.
When it's like a mm-hmm. it's like a little thing that they have down in Boonesboro, like a
festival
one weekend out of the year.
I
yeah,
got you.
A
yeah.
Little festival.
A little
thing.
Flea market like type
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I started selling stuff down there when I was 15. Like I had a booth.
Oh, so you was a little
yeah,
entrepreneur early.
Salt and pepper shakers?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Early age, you start entrepreneurial world.
Right.
So, okay.
Starts yeah. with spices and then, I'm just kidding.
and then you worked your way up.
Yeah. And then, you know, I started going to the library and learning how to bend wood and different properties of wood and what different kinds of wood there were. And
nice.
Got into all the different, and the shop I was working with, because we were doing guitars, we were working with all the exotics. So it was like, you know, you're working with like stuff like Bubinga and Paduk and all these types of wood from like, you know, the rainforest that you don't see. Lemon wood and
yeah.
all this stuff.
More
it's,
expensive
it's,
stuff.
It's
high
really
end
neat.
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Macassar ebony. That stuff is salty.
Okay.
But, yeah. And then I just really got into it. And then by the time I was 21, I was pretty much running the shop there.
Nice.
And
moving up.
Yeah. I told my parents that I said, listen, I was 16 years old. It was the summer of 10th grade.
Mm-hmm.
I was making $15 an hour,
not
working
bad.
Full time. Mm-hmm. Bought myself a new truck. Mm-hmm. Moved out of my parents' house.
You were 16?
Living with a roommate.
I gotcha. Wow. Yep. Starting early.
Yep. And then I just told my parents, I said, listen, things are going good. And why, I think this is what I'm going to do the rest of my life. You know, so school is like, school's kind of boring, you know, because you go, every time you go back into school, you know, I don't know if it was the school system you complained about or not, but it was like this, they teach the same thing every year. You know, you just,
you spend
half the year
learning the same thing.
The same thing you learned last year. And then they barely touch on the on something new, and then you go back in the next year, and it's the same thing all over again.
So you threw in the towel and just said,
"Yeah, I was all I was always getting in trouble anyways because I refused to do my homework and rebelling against the system." Sort of thing.
Basically, you didn't fit in there, but you found something at an early age that you do fit in.
Yeah,
and it's nothing criminal, not like that. So I mean, that's a positive to this, you
right?
Know what I mean, some kids obviously leave school and fall into a whole different world.
Right.
So, but you went this route.
Right.
You went the route of wood. You respect wood.
I do.
Yes, you do.
I do respect
wood. And I quote Larry David.
Yeah. So then after that, I decided I was going to move on with my life. Got to a point where it was time to go do something else.
Mm-hmm.
So I got in my car and drove as far south as I could.
That was your...
Got to Miami.
Someone just told you to get in the car and go?
Just got in the car and went.
Okay.
Wow. You know, well, there was a broken heart involved.
Oh, okay. It's always a backstory.
There was some tears that drove me down there. But I got a rental car and went to Miami. And when I got to Miami, I needed to find a job. And I knew I wanted to do high-end woodworking. And I had a lot of skills
already.
A lot of
experience. How old were you when you got to Miami?
21.
Okay.
Yeah, so I got down there and I picked up a magazine, Architectural Digest, and I started flipping through them. And I noticed that all of the houses that were in the Architectural Digest and Florida Design Magazine, all the houses were, well, a large portion of them were being built by the same builder.
Right.
You know, all the featured kitchens and featured
high-end
libraries
down,
and
wine cellars and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Celebrities.
Celebrity houses
the,
and all
the,
that kind
on the
of
beach
stuff.
And stuff. Yeah, yeah.
So, so I go to this company, and I applied, and they pushed me away. And then I went back a week later, and I applied again, and they pushed me away. And then I went back a week later and applied again, and they pushed me away. I probably did this 10, 12 times while I worked, you know, I worked in a veneer plant. While I was down there,
did what you had to do.
Yeah, I still had the wood experience, you know. But and I learned how they spin veneer off of logs and you know apply it and to like a substrate and everything. So that was kind of neat, but it didn't really pay, and I wasn't really proud of what I was doing.
Right.
Oh. I knew I wanted to work for this one company.
Okay.
So I just went back and kept applying and applying and applying, and finally they just gave in and they were like, "Fine, go out, pick up a broom, and start sweeping the floor." So I'd show up early every morning, sweep the floor, get it all out of the way, and then go over to people's benches and ask them if I could help. Can I help? Can I help? Can I help? Next thing you know, I'm running the saws and just kind of forced my way onto a bench.
Gunpoint.
Forced my way through the crowd, you know.
It's called being persistent, everybody.
Yeah.
How many times would you say you applied before they let you in the door? Honestly.
Honestly, probably 10 times, I guess.
So that means you don't give up.
Keep knocking.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Just kept knocking. Yeah. Actually, they knew me.
By the fifth time. Yeah, by this the guy fifth again.
They like, hey, how are you?
You live in the parking lot or something?
Yeah.
You smell like you live in the
parking lot. So when you got there, you took the bench. How did you, you know, were they amazed with what you can do?
Well, once they put me on a bench, like after about a month of being there, they were like, okay, well, here, you can have your own bench, but you need your own tools. So I had to work double time and a lot of overtime so I could go buy my own tools to put on the bench, you know, so I could do stuff.
Yeah, the rules.
And then
once you get into
the system, they start throwing you projects. So they'll take like a project like the Coca-Cola Mansion we were working on, and they split it up into four or five different sections, and they'll say you two go work on this, you two go work on this, you two go work on this.
Right.
So. they gave me the wine cellar.
Oh.
That was my first like real big project. Me and this other guy who had just started, he was fresh out of art school.
Oh.
So he really didn't know he didn't have any woodworking experience.
He could draw it.
But he was artsy.
You two could marry that and make it.
Yeah. And coming out of art school, it's about having that the eye for perfection.
Exactly.
Too.
Right.
You know, he knew what a 64th of an inch looked like. you know. So, and if it was off of 64th, he would know it. So,
right, that was
you know, and that's a big part of of it. You know, when you
understanding your measurements.
Yeah.
So people who are not good with measurements, pay attention. That's you gotta pay attention.
Break out the ruler, kids.
Yep. Yeah. So they gave me the wine cellar, which was awesome.
Nice.
Held 1,400 bottles of wine.
1,400.
Huh? Yeah. And we had to take it. It was all distressed. So we took mahogany and we put a nail through a 2x4, and we would just beat stuff up, hit it with a hammer, whatever. So when the stain hits it, looks like it's been there since the 1800s.
Is that the trick they do to us now?
Yeah.
But we're seeing we're looking at antique stuff.
I question a lot of that around here.
We're really looking at something that was like 2 years ago. Okay, yeah, no, now we know the trick, everyone.
Civil War, my ass.
we took old wine kegs and cut the ends of the kegs off and used them as cabinet doors.
Nice.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Had the whole look, winery, the kegs, all that. Nice.
Yep. And it had a little, because it's Coca-Cola Mansion, you know, and they're fancy. One of the other guys on the bench across from me, he was building the pub, and we had to kind of work together because there's a little elevator that goes from the wine cellar up to the pub.
Oh.
Now you say Coca-Cola Mansion. Like the owner of Coca-Cola's house, you're building his mansion.
Yeah.
So you call it the Coca-Cola Mansion.
Yeah. Well, okay. They had to go under a false name, but that's what it was.
We'll just call it Coke.
Yeah.
Miami anyway, right?
All right.
Yeah. It was actually the house in Bad Boys 2.
What was it?
You know, at the end, where they ran the Hummer through the house and blew it up. That was the next door neighbor's house.
Oh, wow.
And he bought the neighbor's house, and they had the movie come in and destroy the house so that he could build an addition onto the side.
Awesome.
So it all worked out in the end.
Yeah.
there's a rhyme and reason for everything. Hey, yeah. Why not? This should be a film anyway.
I know. That's great. Cool. That's awesome.
There was some craziness going on with his daughter, I believe, was being held for ransom or something crazy was going on in the news. So they couldn't go by their real name. They had to go by a false name. And we couldn't.
We had to sign non-disclosure
saying that we didn't know their names and all that kind of stuff.
Hey, man,
we
didn't know who the client was.
Right.
Oh, wow. Listen to this podcast anyway. I mean,
I'm amazed at what you can do with wood. I mean, I've heard so many different things, and I saw a lot of different things, you know, like I love decks, so I like, you know, but I want it with different types of wood. Mahogany is my favorite wood. I really love that.
Yeah.
I really like that wood, but I'm sure there's better, but I haven't seen better. Not yet.
There's a lot of whole breeds of mahogany.
Okay, but when she says mahogany, what's the next step above mahogany?
Above mahogany?
Yeah. There's other tiers?
I would say so. Mahogany, there's all your basic domestics, which are which would be your maple, cherry, walnut, it's birch, like you know, that kind of
domestic
stuff.
Huh?
That's all your local domestic stuff. And it's, you know, it might run $3 a board foot at the top, you know. Mahogany is usually probably about $5 or $6 a board foot. And then you get into all your exotics. So mahogany's a little bit better than your domestics, but it's still in the domestic category.
And then you get above that, and now
you're talking up around.
You said rainforest earlier.
Yeah, rainforest stuff is like $13, $14 a foot. No. You know, you can get into that Macassar ebony I was telling you about. It was $600 for a 4x8 sheet of it.
Whew.
And that's veneer. That's not solid wood. You know, that's the wood's only a 16th of an inch thick.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But people are really paying
attention. You've been around it. You've handled most of it, right? Would you say?
Yeah.
So you're the wood expert.
He knows his wood.
I know my wood.
Awesome.
I'm changing into woodsman, man, or woodman or something.
Right.
Chris Canfield.
So now how is your business going? Like, you have a lot of clientele, a lot of high end, low end.
So after the Florida thing went, I got done down there. I moved back up here, and I found out that I was kind of like out of my own out of my jurisdiction or whatever you want to call it. You know,
as far as what you were doing.
Yeah,
down
what
here
I was doing, what I was doing down there doesn't exist up here.
Okay.
So I found a place to work, but we were doing like, you know, some low end, you know, kind of junky stuff. You know, put slot A into slot B. Whole lot of CNC work where you're just like building IKEA furniture, basically.
I can do that. Without making a phone call. I'm pretty good, man.
No.
My wife got that down pat.
I don't know about that, Jay. We're going to leave you alone with that. Let's stick to the expert.
Yeah. So, then I decided I was going to start my own business. And, yeah.
But you,
here we are. It's been 10 years.
You were done in Florida. You came up for some family issues. No need to touch on that. But obviously, when you left Florida, you didn't want to leave, did you?
I did not want
things
to leave.
Things were going good down there, right?
Things were going good, yeah. I had just moved into like an apartment that had a balcony that overhung a lake and everything.
Oh,
I bought myself a new convertible, and I was living the life, man.
Oh, man.
Where in Florida were you at? I knew you were building in Miami. Where did you live, though?
Oh, I lived in Aventura first when I got down there, and then I moved up to Boca Raton.
Okay, beach.
Yeah, and then I went up to Boynton. I was in Boynton Beach and Delray Beach.
Everything was the beach.
Everything was the beach.
Now we're at Hagerstown Beach.
I don't think Hagerstown has a beach, yeah. Jay.
We need a beach in this town.
And the company I was working for down there actually split. And they picked up a contract working with Louis Vuitton and Christian Dior.
Ooh,
and when they picked up that contract, they split the company and had a commercial half, and they made me project manager.
Mm. Oh.
So I was flying all over the country for maybe 3 or 4 years. I would spend, you know, 3 months in New York, and then 3 months in L.A., and then 3 months in Houston. And then I would come back to Miami, and they would just let me. They'd be like, here's all your paychecks from the past 3 months. Go ahead and take a couple weeks off. We'll call you when we need you again.
Oh, awesome.
In Florida.
Florida. So I know you missed that life. Right? You came back to quiet Hagerstown.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That humbled you.
Yeah, you really don't have a life though when you're living like that, you know.
I mean, right.
You get to see places, but you don't
greener, man.
You don't really have friends or anything, you know.
You had friends down there.
Yeah, but when you spend 6 months living out of a bag in a hotel.
Okay.
You know, Times Square isn't very friendly to people from Hagerstown.
I see.
Yeah.
I understand.
Nor from Texas. I'm one.
Right? Yeah, don't go to New York. They don't like us up there.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Right. But I get along with everybody. But I'm sure that when you got here, you brought some unique traits because you traveled. I consider yourself like a travel person in your profession.
Yeah, your experience. You know?
Your experience.
Yeah.
You have a lot of things. So you have, you know, a lot of knowledge you brought back with you. Are you taking any people under apprenticeship or anything like that?
I've tried.
I'm the same way, man.
It's been 10 years, and there has been a ton of ups and downs since I started. I've gone through all kinds of transformations.
Being a business owner myself.
Yes, I'm a business owner.
It's a roller coaster ride.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
being
an entrepreneur, whatever you want to call it.
It
starts off with me and nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to put every dime I have into it
while
I'm working two other jobs just to pay the bills,
you know.
And then you build your own place. And then I get up to a point where I need a helper. So then you hire a helper. Then you hire a person.
to help the helper.
Then you hire a person to work in the office.
Right. Mm-hmm.
To answer the phone because the phone's starting to ring too much and you can't play both sides of the fence.
Right.
You know, and it starts expanding a little bit. But then I got to a point where I got too greedy and I just started taking everything that came across my desk. My name started spreading and getting pretty wide. And I was having a whole bunch of contractors call me from all over the country. And they were like wanting me to, you know, hey, can you go to Richmond and build me a restaurant? Or can you go here and can you do that? I was saying yes to everything. And when I said yes to everything, I hired a bunch of people that I didn't know or didn't vet. And the whole thing just came crashing down.
That's where you need a person like me, you know, to come in and properly vet these. Because, you know, I think when you properly vet a person, and maybe they can bring some work samples for you in your profession. I would ask them to bring me some work samples and give me some type of portfolio of their work and their education. Because
that is a cool thing that I have seen companies do, other companies.
Mm-hmm.
Like they'll have, if you come in and claim that you know how to make something, they'll say, okay, go out in the shop and make it.
You do it,
and
yeah.
then bring it back to me.
Testing, mm-hmm. testing.
Yeah, yeah, and then that's part of your interview.
Right.
Your job, you know, go out.
I think that'd there be was, important
there, there
for
was
you.
One, there was one guy who told me that he had his all of his employees go out and make him a cube. He would say, go out and make me a 6x6 cube. So they would. Some people would come back with the veneer matched, so that it all rolled, all the grain rolled around the cube, mm-hmm. so that it all looked even. Some people would come back with the thing glued up all crooked, mm-hmm. or, you know. Some people would come back with like fancy carvings and stuff in the cube or whatever they
which
did
you didn't
that
ask
day.
For. Right.
Yeah, which you didn't ask for. You know, you're just trying to impress the guy to get a job. So
but all you need to make is the 6x6 cube. That's what we asked. That's
right. And then he had a whole shelf.
Full of
up
them.
Behind his desk, full
all
of
all the
cubes.
Duds.
Yeah,
all the people that didn't
so,
make
so
it.
So that was a learning lesson. Now, what? Now, do you have a lot of? Do you have a small staff now, or are you just a one man shop?
I'm just down to me right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. The implosion happened last year,
mm-hmm.
and then this year mm-hmm. I've just been rebuilding,
picking up pieces.
Yeah, picking up the
Sometimes
pieces.
We got to do that. You yep. got to start from scratch all
right.
over
but
again.
But you have a world of experience, man. For you know, you're 37, you know what you're doing. You have a skill set,
and the sacrifices you make are insane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I had a wife, she would have done divorce me because there's no way that she would put up with me putting my house on the line, putting my car on the line,
right?
Like.
To keep the business
know,
going.
Hey,
yeah.
you know, yeah, to keep the business going, you know.
Yeah.
It's got, you know, sometimes you don't get paid doing government contracts. Sometimes you don't get paid for 6 months.
Right.
And you have to go knock on some more doors, don't you?
Huh? Yeah.
You've been through that, haven't you?
Yeah.
Collect from people?
Yeah. Oh, I've stuffed mailboxes.
Mm-hmm. Have you partnered with any of the local businesses in Hagerstown that are in like builders that's into, I know a lot of builders have,
you know,
I'm not going to mention any names.
You ever freelance yourself to people around here? I'm sure you
do. Yeah, but I know some builders are not great in building homes. And, you know, one chain is kicked out of Virginia. They're not even allowed to build in Virginia. But so with that being said, you know, I know you want to make sure that you have quality work. Have you found any builders that where you can partner with to
the home builder guys are pretty stuck on the idea that they do everything in house.
Okay. Gotcha.
They have their own guys to do everything. And I've tried to get in and say, hey, I can do a better job here. And it's sat down and had meetings with them and stuff. And they're like, no,
they do it.
No,
their
we
way
have,
and
we
it.
Have guys who do that and that's it. We're not letting you in, but there's, you know, but the demand for, doing commercial stuff like coffee houses and stuff like that, you know, they can't go in there and build cash register setups and stuff like that.
They
that's
want,
that's
those
where
coffee
I come
shops.
In.
They want something unique. They want,
right.
Yeah.
And like store fixtures, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Well, I would advise all the people who are looking to upgrade their establishment to make it more appealing and attractive to their clientele to come and you know look you up and see what make it customizable to them. Dumb.
Evolutionary Design.
Evolutionary Designs.
Are you on the web?
Unfortunately, I am.
Oh, yeah. You have a website? Evolution?
Funny story with that was a long time ago when I first got started, I got some local girl to build a website for me, and I didn't really like the website.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it looked like maybe a 10-year-old had built this website.
Lots of those out there.
So, and then she just disappeared into the woodwork. Never heard from her again. You know,
he uses wood a lot.
I see that.
His vocabulary.
I never heard from her again. But now there's this website that's floating around
called Fiverr,
and I have no idea how to access it or how to get into it.
Oh, really?
Or anything. And people constantly say, "Hey, I saw your website," and it's not the website that I want anybody to see.
We're gonna see it right now. Evolutionary Designs.
.com? And I believe no, it's not a .com. I believe the
.us or something.
Yeah, it's .dot something else.
He doesn't even know.
Okay, well, we're gonna have to scratch. If you all see this website, just know that it's not the correct
Facebook,
version
the
of
Hub
what he
Show.
Wants.
Yeah. That's us on Facebook, thehubshow.com. Send us some pictures of the website to producer@thehubshow.com. Evolutionary Designs.
So we're gonna hook you up with Fiverr.
I'm gonna try .net. Yeah.
They can build your website.
Somebody.
Really reasonable.
Yep.
I need
put on some of your nice woodworking pictures and things like that. And I tell you, I will support you. I'm telling you, I need that wet bar within the next 2 weeks. So
I have some really nice pictures.
This is not you.
evolutionarydesigns.net. That's nope, not.
That's
no.
not it.
So we know it's not that. So we'll find you. We'll
keep
find
digging.
No, I want to see it. Whoever's out there listening, you're on Facebook, send us some pictures, some screenshots.
Right.
.us. Let's try that one. All right. Well, listen, while we're haggling and hassling over this, trying to figure out what your website looks like.
No, there's no social media with you? There's no... I mean,
I
know you have. You
have
Facebook.
Page.
Does Evolutionary Designs
have
one?
I have a Facebook page.
Oh, but you
okay,
need a
awesome.
Website, yes. You don't even need a website
and,
anymore.
And can you shout out your phone number, your contact information, so we can know how to reach you?
Sure. The office number is 240-420-1924.
Okay. And what is your office and, hours?
Well, the office hours are 24/7.
Because if nobody
picks up the phone, it forwards over to my cell phone.
Okay, awesome.
That's the way to do it.
Do you have anything that you really like to specialize in? You know, what type of projects? Is there something premium that you like to specialize in to really show your skill set?
Oh, man. Anything. I don't know. Anything that's
anything with wood.
Anything that's different. I like doing something that I've never done before.
Okay.
You know, I like being able to make up things in my mind and kind of design and go on my own.
And like, one more thing I like to ask, what sets you apart from other people that do the woodwork here? Like, what do you feel that the quality that you bring to the table?
Well, I think what you went through down in Florida, obviously you came back with a world of knowledge about different designs and styles. I'm on your Facebook page. This looks great.
And you know, my past still calls on me sometimes, and you know, I'll get a phone call from somebody saying, hey, can you go out to a Tiffany store in Chicago next mm-hmm. week and fix the jewelry cases or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and you know, all kinds of stuff.
Oh, awesome.
So I still get my paycations.
You get your paycations. I like that.
I never heard that before.
Right.
I need a paycation. A couple of them.
I like to bid work out of town sometimes. We did a...
It's a good way to take a break, huh?
Yeah, we did... was in Ocean City for about a month, and I figured I might as well get paid while I'm down there. So we did a I bid out a a Build-A-Bear store.
Okay,
nice.
So we went down and built a Build-A-Bear store while I was on vacation for a month.
Wait, who's we
City.
Though?
Who were you? That with? Was back when I had when I had employees.
He has some crew.
Okay,
so me
okay.
And another guy.
Nice.
Well, you know,
the biggest I have been is I've had 9 employees. I believe. 9 or 10.
So are you looking to get more employees? Are you looking for an apprenticeship?
I tell you right now, I am just enjoying being by myself.
Okay.
To be honest with
it's
you.
It's like a pay vacation. Vacation. It's like a paycation, man.
All
like,
right.
I have spent this entire year completely stress free.
Solo.
I have not argued with anybody.
For
yourself. I've not thrown a cell phone. I've not done anything.
So what you're saying is if you get another employees, we're going to properly vet them.
Yes. What I'm saying is if you think that you are good at woodworking,
mm-hmm.
and you're not going to stress me out, then you can give me a call and I might hire you.
Mike,
now, tell me what's going to stress you out? What is your pet peeve? Your number
you
one.
You got to build a cube.
You're an HR lady. You know what the pet peeves are.
I do, but I want to hear
they're
it from
full
you.
They're full-grown adult babies. That's what they are.
There we go.
So you
crying,
come to work whining. not to complain. Okay.
Yes.
Hey, I'm on your Facebook page. Did you do something for Under Armour? Is that you?
I did, yes. That was actually my first project when I started my own company.
Okay.
Okay.
Built the Under Armour down at Montgomery Mall. And that was actually the very first Under Armour,
because they're from
the
Baltimore
store.
Area, right?
That was their first mm-hmm. loaner store, like out by itself.
Nice.
Because they always sold to like Dick's Sporting Goods,
right.
And stuff like that.
Then they
and
opened
then
their own shop.
The one in Montgomery Mall was their first
Under Armour store. Yeah. That's cool.
And I actually met the guys.
Awesome.
Yeah, I used
from
to.
They used to actually walk the job sites and go, you know, this is.
I saw Under Armour. I used to work for the world's largest apparel trade show, the Magic Show. I saw Under Armour show up when they were like 3 guys in a 10x10 booth space, and I watched them get bought by whoever, and boom, the following year they just mushroomed and became what they are now, and so on. So it's crazy, man.
Another big one I had was Ed Hardy.
Nice.
That was
I built
the first Ed Hardy store on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
I built it in Georgetown, and they said it was the best looking store that they had seen. So they said, we want to start, we want to offer you to bid these things out in packages. So we want you to bid like three or four at a time. Mm-hmm. So I bid out, you know, the one in South Carolina, one in North Carolina, and one in Virginia. Then I go do those three, got them done, and they said, okay, now we want you to do one in Orlando, one in Boston, and one in here. And then, it, you know, and it just, I did maybe 15 stores on the East Coast, and then the whole brand just went under.
You can always do some custom work for the Hub Show.
The Hub Show.
Right? Yeah, I've already
We're
going to
be opening a store
that.
Here in Hagerstown. I'm just kidding.
That's right. That's right.
Some Hub Show gear.
We got it.
It's coming.
Yeah, yeah. Believe me, it doesn't take long before people start asking for favors when they find out what I do.
I hear you. All right. Well, hey, Chris Canfield, everyone. We're going to call you Woodman. Here you go. Right. You're the man of wood.
The woodworking specialist.
Wood. That's it, right. We'll be right back with more from you, Chris. Have a good time. We're going to kick it. And right. Chronicles of the HR World here with Shay. You can chime in all you want. This will be fun. Being that you're a solopreneur, don't have any employees to worry about all that crap, right?
Yep.
All right.
I could sleep in tomorrow.
And we'll be back.
Any event, anytime, anywhere in the U.S. If you're looking for portable displays and graphics for any convention, conference, party, home show, job fair, photo backdrop, even DJ sets, ExpoNet USA is here to provide the best pricing and service for all your printed branding and marketing needs. With printing facilities on both sides of the country and well-connected in the middle, ExpoNet USA makes things happen without the huge rush fees or high shipping costs. Hey, Hagerstown, you've got a guy. Call Display J at 301-378-9363. Graphic design services are available as well. Visit us at www.exponetusa.com. Also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
All right, we're back. Chris Canfield here. You got blood in your pants. We're doing a little comparison of scars, you're like, on Jaws. You got
brand new pair of pants.
Yeah,
too.
But you're the wood guy, so you got a lot of splinters?
Huh? Yes, a lot of splinters.
You got scars on your hands?
Yeah, here? Yeah.
So you don't use gloves?
I got this cut on my wrist here. Look at that. Oh, and that's the
don't
worst
do that
part.
In here, man.
That's the worst part.
You're slitting
for
your wrist in here? No, right? The Hub Show live.
So you need to have protective wear, so you need to do the PPE.
Oh no, that stuff's for the beginners.
Oh no,
for the wimps, you know.
No, we got
real men don't wear.
So do you get together?
Goggles.
Do you get I can't see. Our,
so now we're going to talk about workplace
sea shanty.
I mean, workman's comp issues.
Yeah, on yourself.
Yeah. Right. So
wait a minute, is this being recorded?
Self-inflicted.
So we're going to know that you can't, he's not hiring any staff members that's not wearing proper PPE, okay?
That's right.
Yeah.
You got to be hardcore. You got to pass
PPE.
The test. No gloves. Yeah. Imagine that.
I do have my OSHA 30.
Oh, good.
Now, whether I actually pay attention to it or not.
You should. It's important.
I do when I have to, you know. I mean, if things are flying in my face, I'm going
to
go for
But isn't
goggles.
That a requirement for you to work on certain jobs and stuff?
It is, but it's such
a piece of paper.
It's such a nuisance sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they'll want you to wear steel-toed boots and, like, all the get-up and a hard hat, and you're trying to, like, hang an apron underneath the sink.
Mm-hmm. And it's very hard.
And it's just like everywhere.
Yeah, it's
you're banging your head off the walls and everything. And it's like, then you take the hat, you take the hard hat off and you like throw it on the floor beside where you're working. And then one of the safety guys comes by and goes, hey, you got to put your hard hat back on. Like, how am I supposed to be underneath this cabinet
does that happen a lot
with my hard hat
places
on?
You go?
It happens on all government jobs.
All government jobs.
Because safety is number one, everybody. Just remember that. Safety is number one.
Use protection.
Even if it's unnecessary.
Yes, it is.
Even if it's unnecessary, use protection. Whatever kind of message that
is. Yeah, right?
I know.
Just walk around with a condom on.
And a hard hat, kids. And a hard hat. You never know. You might fall.
You never know
never
when you might
know.
Trip and fall.
That's true.
Into something.
Into something. All right.
We don't
well,
want
speaking
you to
of that,
into anything.
Wait, speaking of that, because of what you do and what we're talking about just now, Shay here is the queen of HR.
Yes.
She's the HR machine.
I try.
So when, listen, the news is spinning right now. It has been for the last month or so to get our attention away from the Las Vegas shooter. That's what I believe. But nonetheless, the whole world's spinning about
sexual harassment.
Together, kids. Yeah.
So I just, you know, I'm doing sexual harassment training with some organizations. And I think that it's imperative that if you haven't already, that you need to bring that awareness up. And this is supposed to be an annual harassment training at your company, your organization, so that you can make sure your staff members are educated and know how to properly understand what sexual harassment is, mm-hmm. what it looks like.
Is the helicopter move, is that on the list?
Not every move is on the list. No. It can be the jokes you say, the gestures, you know, the... It could be all of those things. You know, I can vouch that because I've been in management for a long time and I deal with upper management, where I was subjected to videos that was inappropriate.
So you were sexually harassed.
I wouldn't say I was sexually harassed, but I was in an environment that I didn't want to see sexual content.
What do you mean you were subjected to videos?
They said, hey, Shay, look at this video.
Like somebody's watching Pornhub on the clock.
They turn the screen around and said,
no, they gave it. It's on their phone, the smartphone.
Or is it them? There was a home video?
No home videos.
Oh, okay.
Or they have a joke.
Right?
If it's not professional, at least make it professional, right? Don't miss any home shit. I don't need a PowerPoint presentation of what you did last night.
No, I don't need to see that. Yeah, and then I saw the jokes. Inappropriate jokes. I really don't care about your jokes.
Now, telling a dirty joke, still.
That's all that comes out of my mouth.
Still not appropriate.
Okay, I understand.
At the workplace.
I mean, I know what isn't appropriate. I understand. But let's be honest.
Glad I've never been in a corporate world.
I mean, looking at porn on your phone and then, you know, hey, Shay, check this out. Nah.
No. And then you have the people where you can feel somebody just eyeing you.
Yeah,
just licking you up and down.
I've never felt that before.
Oh, I felt that. You know, it's like a heat sensation on your body where they're looking at you.
Oh, that's what that was.
Yeah.
Wow.
But you know, it's just like, you know, and the light massage you try to give somebody, you can't do that.
Someone try to massage you at your job.
They would
rub your neck or rub your shoulders and.
Yeah. I don't know those unwanted things.
If Jose offered me a massage, I'd take it.
I don't think you would want to do that.
You might after a long day doing what you do, huh?
And my thing is, if you see something, say something.
Construction sites are completely.
Well, that's a big
different.
Issue right now, though. See something, say something. You become what's called a whistleblower.
I wouldn't care.
Blowback. No, I know you, Shay. I get you don't care.
Yeah,
I sense that about you. And
I really wouldn't care. I just like I look.
Well, wait. When someone showed you the videos and the movies, what did you do?
I said, that is inappropriate. I would advise you not to show that ever again to me or anyone else.
So you came at him from an HR legal standpoint with the terminology. I advise you.
Yeah. And you need to address, you need to confront the person who's doing it. And then, you know, I would advise everybody who feels sexual harassment or any form of harassment to, you know, report it. I mean, that's the proper thing to do so it won't happen again. Because you don't know if you're the only person that's being victimized by that person.
Right. Well, yeah, apparently, I mean, all the stuff coming out in the news, like every day, at least last week, every day, whether they're celebrity or somebody, you know, in Congress, it's like every day now.
Yep.
Someone's name's coming up.
But you know what's so bad about it? It's power in numbers. That's why it's probably coming out the way it is, the outpour. Because if you did it like this, for example, you know, I'm a victim of molestation. And it was an old man.
Oh.
Old man. That did this.
Put your hand down.
For 4 years. And he was a member of the church. Mm-hmm. So just imagine, I'm not going to say anything because he's a...
Yeah, I understand the position
you're in.
You're also a child.
And I'm a child.
Situation.
So when I became...
a power situation.
Yeah, when I got older, I told about it. But he was dead. You know.
What can you do about it?
You can't do anything about
it. You have stuff you need to do about it.
But
to clear out the junk drawer.
That's right.
Speak,
that's right. To release it.
It does feel good.
It felt good.
I found that out recently.
For instance, John Conyers, the Democrat congressman, has been accused. He's been accused. Allegedly did this and that. You know, he's getting the finger pointed at him, but he gets to retire. He announces his retirement. So he gets to retire with pay and everything else. It seems it's not sticking the same way to everybody.
My thing is, any form of harassment, you should have zero tolerance, no matter what level of corporations or organizations or anything. Any form of harassment, you should have zero tolerance, and they should do an immediate investigation.
I agree with you 100%. You should be touchy feely with nobody on the job.
Period.
Showing porn, none of that stuff. Absolutely. I mean, who in the right mind would? To me, you know, what are you thinking? But they're also, let's be honest, in this wave of sexual harassment accusations that has come along, how many women are jumping on that for the ka-ching? Then see, I mean, that's the problem here, man.
So there might be some people doing that.
I'm not saying they are.
But it's a good time to do it
if you're going to do it.
But then there's been women who mess it up for people like me.
Go on.
Who does, or men. I'm not going to leave you out either. But there's been people who have, and I'm going to put it to all genders.
All genders, right.
That there's been people who would sleep their way up to the top.
Right.
You know, and right. That's not fair to you or I.
No, it's not.
And then we get victimized.
Hey, I've seen that.
Yeah, and we get victimized by these people because they feel like, okay,
yeah,
you can. I'm gonna do it to you, and yeah. That's not right.
But let's be honest, though. Even though this wave of accusations and people are getting pinged every other day in the news, mm-hmm. This stuff isn't gonna go away. We might be better to have a better handle on it.
Yes, we need to have.
But
some
it's gonna make a lot of people a little paralyzed in situations where. They should have done something, but they didn't because they didn't want to get accused of this.
That's right.
It's a crazy double-edged
sword. Well, and
my
biggest thing is everybody's obligated to notify. So if you see it, and I've witnessed that too. I've seen somebody harassed.
Like, if I see someone harassing someone at work, I should speak up on their behalf.
Yes. Yes.
Some people, you know. Some people won't even report a murder when it happens in front of them. They don't want to stay out of
right.
it.
Right. A lot
if
of people.
You are having an affair and you just don't know.
You just don't know.
Well, the thing is, you know, some people have workplace relationships.
I know.
But then one person want to end it.
Okay.
Okay. And then you have the person coming harassing me at work.
Right.
Well, my thing is, number one, me personally, I would never have a workplace romance. But number two is, if you're having a workplace romance and it's ended, you need to really make some hard lines. Say, if you come to me and you harass me at work, I will report you.
Yeah, that's the thing now, too, isn't it? In the last 10 years, HR, they know that two people are dating in the workforce. HR brings them in the office and them sign stuff. And
we talk about it.
It's all CYA,
you know, I've
man.
Always tried to always put people in different departments. Jeez. So that it wouldn't have any issues.
Yeah.
And any adverse reactions to whatever they may have. And you have husband and wives work at the same place.
That's one
just
thing.
Don't bring your stuff to work.
Yeah,
leave
it. Yeah.
Pick it up after you get off off
God.
Duty hours.
Right.
You know,
oh my God.
You know,
and
drop
not
it
even in the parking lot.
Yeah, not even in the parking lot.
Outside the parking lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because for example, you know, I've had workplace violence issues with people.
You've
that
seen
are
it all, Shay. That's why we have you on the Hub Show. I want to hear all about this stuff.
Well,
so
I've had situations where people on drugs and they strip naked and they operate in a forklift and they're because they're on some type of
they
drug
were driving
and,
it naked?
And they strip naked and run into the women's bathroom and make noises and
it was
stuff.
A dude?
It was a guy and we had to get
remind me to tell
there's
you
a calendar
about,
for you.
Yeah, remind you me
got,
to tell you about
have,
Neil Superior.
I've seen it all kinds of stuff. You know, you have people probably poop in the toilet. I mean, poop not in the toilet, but in the sink because they're mad at the work. It's just so many crazy things that could happen.
Things I would never think to do. I get mad.
Right?
I don't take a
You know, you have like people.
That doesn't cross my mind.
I think you would take a dump someplace you shouldn't.
Right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you have all kinds of things that happen in the world of corporations and small corporations. I mean, you just see, you know, you just really have to be careful.
Speaking of poop, did you see the girl? It was a report on the news. Out in Sacramento, California. She was a delivery driver for Amazon. Did you see that?
Oh, no.
She was driving
a
U-Haul, but they rented a U-Haul van to go deliver Amazon stuff. And she, like, in the middle of a cul-de-sac in a suburban neighborhood, like, you know, she got out and opened the passenger side door and squatted down. And that was her cover.
Oh, you gotta
she was on camera the
do,
whole
huh?
time. She took a dump.
Whew.
Got back in the van and got off and drove off. But she got fired. You know, Amazon had to go.
Right.
You know,
well,
cover their ass
number,
and all that stuff. But
number one.
Lord.
Yeah, she needed to be fired.
Number one for number two.
Well, it's news to me that Amazon has delivery.
Yes.
Really?
They have their own delivery service? They don't just ship things FedEx or something?
Well, then you have people. They have like same day delivery they try to do and everything.
Yeah,
so they hire.
That,
they hire
so
independent contractors.
Drones, man.
To,
drones are coming
I,
to your
I heard,
house to
I heard the
stuff.
Drones thing, but that failed, right?
No, they didn't fail.
They're still working. It's all beta tested.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
So you see what looks like a dragonfly in the corner of your eye and has a box that's Amazon delivering shit to your doorstep.
That's kind of, you know, a lot of other people are trying to do that now. I think Walmart is going to try to do that too.
Everyone's going to try to compete with Amazon. It's crazy, man.
Jeff Bezos is my man.
Yeah, he's going crazy.
I love him.
He just crossed the billion mark
a
couple days ago.
Well, you know, I respect him because he is an outside-the-box thinker, you know, and he comes up with ways to make the money and make his clients happy.
Right.
And I'm a happy client. I'm a Prime member and proud of it.
I'm not sure what he's going to do yet, but he bought Whole Foods.
Oh, he's already started.
Did he already start that?
You can get the food delivered to you.
Oh.
Yeah,
I don't like that. It's just like the trying on clothes bit. I mean, you got to trust that they're going to bring what you want.
Right.
What happens when they deliver groceries? Well, it's just like,
have you had Blue Apron or HelloFresh?
I've heard of all of it. I've never used that
stuff. I've used Blue Apron.
I will buy my own food, thank you
very much. I use Blue Apron and have all the ingredients there for me. And I cook it and I'm good.
Yeah.
Really?
But when it comes to clothes, that's a different thing.
Well, you have to read the star.
I mean, I was at Men's Warehouse the other day and the guy told me, who was selling me the pants, he said I was wearing my belt wrong. Taught me how to wear a D-belt.
Can't get that from Amazon.
Right?
Well,
when you loop it in and then you loop it back through and you pull it like an army belt, with the D clips on it.
Yep.
Well, when you're sitting, the end of the D always digs into your skin, right? Yeah. When you're driving a car or something.
Yeah, it sucks.
You turn the D sideways. So the flat part is at the top and the D aims down. The D aims at the D. Aim the D to the D.
I don't have a D.
He's over here playing charades. Awesome, Chris. The true woodsman.
But yeah, so this is so many things. But sex harassment training, I believe in any form of harassment, it should be zero tolerance.
What's the worst case of workplace violence you've heard of or you've seen or whatever that's come across your path? Violence.
I don't know I've seen where... fights? I've heard... Put like this, I've heard where, there was domestic violence on the job with two people who are dating.
Would it be considered domestic then?
It is domestic. It's workplace
domestic
violence.
Yeah, domestic doesn't have to be in your home. Right. Right.
But if we consider the workplace violence, you would consider workplace violence if they are having threatening behavior of, in any kind. Gotcha. Right there. So you have that.
Wow.
So,
Think that with all this stuff that's going on, do you think the definition of sexual harassment is being redefined and we're just getting more intense with it?
Yeah.
No, I don't think
recently, or do you think the rules have always been the same and we're just now starting to enforce them?
That's correct. I believe the rules have always been the same. We just not starting enforcement, and people are not, just remember, not all report it either.
Well, yeah, of course not.
You know, and it's just like any type of molestation or rape, not all, like one out of four is reported. It's not always reported because of the fear. The victimizer always establish some type of fear factor.
The power thing.
And that power thing. And that, it's like it captive, keeps you captive. And it keeps you in a bubble.
It's a mental hostage.
And then you got to feel safe to come out that bubble.
Right.
And until you get safe to come out that bubble, you're not going to report it.
Yeah.
You're going to be internalizing and re-victimizing yourself for the thoughts and through action. So I just, anybody that's in that type of situation, you don't know what they've been through to get them to even report it.
You're almost a therapist at that point.
Well, yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well,
man.
I'm only going to tell you by experience,
But I'm saying, though, have you've been in situations without saying names, obviously. You've been as an HR rep. Someone's come to you and has said to you, have you been involved in anything like that where they reported it to you?
Yes.
So-and-so did this and that to me or tried to do something, and they're feeling pretty distraught.
Yes, and you have
kind
to handle
tiptoeing about it.
Well, I didn't tiptoe.
Not you, them.
They did not want to come to me.
Right.
But I try to keep it, I keep it as a need-to-know basis because it's hardly hard to keep it confidential because it gets out. But I, the investigation is need-to-know basis.
Mm-hmm.
I do a serious investigation. I take statements. I look, look for witnesses. See if I can
CSI
have
any, forensics and
it's really a
she
lot of
for everything.
Well, I have a criminal justice degree, but my investigative skills are point on point. What? And I'm going to look into everything because, somebody can't say something wrong and I'm not going to just punish anyone, reprimand anyone for something they didn't do. I'm going to look into the whole situation. And I always tell people when I do orientations, if you are lying, you're giving false accusations, there's going to be a super serious consequence
behind
that. Yes. Because, you're putting another person's livelihood at stake.
Absolutely.
And you wasting our time and efforts and effort on and, different things, yeah. on things that we shouldn't be wasting our time and efforts absolutely. On. So, you know, I'm very Crying serious wolf. About, yeah. yeah, we're very serious. And any HR professional is very serious about investigation. That's why we train managers. That's one of my things. I had to train the managers about how to handle harassment and complaints. You know, and what if it's a manager that's harassing you? You want to get this promotion. They say, oh, you can't get the promotion without doing this. Like Matt Lauer.
Oh, yeah, know? Right.
That allegation. You know, that happens a lot.
He's still trying to get his $30 million or whatever, man.
Oh, well, it's amazing. Say, bye,
gets to, a guy in Congress gets to retire. He's going to get a pension for that.
You know, I don't.
I mean, stuff that would put, you know, me and Chris here in jail and yeah. anything else. I mean,
you know, you need right? to find another profession.
I guess I'm in the wrong room.
Don't we all, don't we? Yeah. We all in the wrong profession.
Yeah, right.
Well, we got to rub elbows with the right people. I'll let you know. Yeah.
But,
if
you
I
know,
get busted for sexual harassment enough, maybe I'll just go into porn.
Well, you know, my thing is, you know,
it's completely legal in there.
Taking stage number three, the woodsman.
Yeah. But you know, I just think about it like, you know, Woody. we should have been handling this, yeah. you know. But you know,
let me ask you a question though. You've been in HR for a while. What's different about? Is there anything different about what's considered? I know what sexual harassment is, but the way it's been looked at in the corporate world today versus 10, 15, 20 years ago, just people just. Weren't talking about it as much. We knew it
people,
went on.
People wasn't
on.
Talking about it.
Right.
They were scared too. You had like that fear factor, that intimidation. You know. A lot of women now are in management now.
It's different. So there's probably some leftover stuff from the 70s, 60s. It was like, this is just the way 50s, it is. 60s. This is the way it is. Yes. This is the way.
That's
this
the culture.
Is how things go.
The company
right?
culture comes yeah. out. Yeah,
there was the free love and all that stuff going
right.
on back then.
And the Mad Men era, you know, they yeah. just do whatever they want to do. They got the job done, you know.
Right. But now people are really sensitive to harassment. Right. It's like bullying. We're very sensitive to bullying now.
People are just really sensitive in general.
Well, I'm not going to say that. I think it's just we highly sensitize everything right now because
no, we aren't.
I'm not.
It's a generation gap. We've discussed this a million times in the show. We know. I'm not picking on the younger cats, the younger people, but they're getting their panties in a knot over every little thing nowadays.
You just got
to
relax.
Look at me when you're talking about.
I'm just trying to include you in the conversation, there, Mr. Panty Man.
Yeah, well, you know, I just think that you got to relax a little bit, live, but don't try to bully me or harass me.
I can't imagine trying to bully harass you. Man. Right. Thump me with a microphone. Well, yeah, then you have a cop for a husband.
Look, my husband knows I'm not. I am not. That's my favorite.
I am not.
That's all I got to say. I am not.
All right.
Yeah, that's and I give the look too.
That's the caption that goes with your meme.
You got the eyes.
I got the. I am not.
Oh, that's that. That's the.
When was the last
eyes.
Time you had to really the honestly piercing. Use that look?
Yesterday.
On who?
My husband.
Oh, jeez. Right?
I don't want to know what that was about.
That went straight.
Wasn't sexual harassment, was it?
No sexual harassment.
Jeez.
But I am not.
Is that what you do to your husband? You play the HR role in him once in a while? All right, come to my office, please.
Yeah, right.
Oh, he wish.
Oh, yeah.
He wish.
You turn that into whole something different.
Yeah, he wish. But no, I just, you know, I just, you got to know, you know, stand your ground.
Fair.
And you got to, you can't let people walk over you, you know, when you're in the right. And you, a lot of people are not ethical. You know, I came from an era where you had to have some integrity. You know, you had to, you know, care about yourself. You have to have some type of ethical background. Right. I mean, like, you know, you can't sit up there and be all willy nilly all the time. You know, you have to, you know, just like with your company, you want to stand for something, right? You don't want to fall for anything.
Right.
I mean, that's what my grandparents told me. You know, you either stand for something.
I think Reba McEntire said that too.
Or fall for anything.
Country quotes on the Hub Show.
Yeah.
All right, Chris. Lay it on.
And
it.
So you want to stand
culture.
For something.
Yeah.
You know, and I just so much is so free and loose.
Yeah.
It's not. Nah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I miss the 70s.
Who would have thought we would have dealt with cyberbullying back in the 90s?
Another
cyber didn't exist.
Right. No, but if you, there was nothing if you, cyber. If you told us 20 years ago, even 25 years when we were in school,
cyber was RoboCop.
That someone's going to kill themselves over something someone said to them over the phone. Let alone to their face.
Yeah.
I couldn't fathom what that even means.
Right.
But kids are doing it. They're taking everything so seriously. And people
are being
very, it's instantaneous, like bullying.
Yeah, it took a long time. I mean, like, you had to catch me out on the playground or something to bully me back in the day. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or in the hallway. Yeah,
and if you push me, I'm pushing you back.
Right. But now they sit behind a screen.
Keyboard warriors.
You know, and they do it. Or make memes. I mean, who would have thought? We made flyers and posted them. We didn't do memes. You know, so it's so much...
Yeah,
I couldn't pronounce that word until a couple of weeks ago. Meme or meme? Mimi?
I said Mimi at the beginning. My 16-year-old said, "Mom, it is memes." I said, "Oh, okay."
Mimi.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get Snapchat down. I'm still not worried. I'm not. I'm still like that.
No, by the time I get that down pat, the next thing will come around anyway. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I came from an environment where it was like, you got to be thick-skinned to get by.
Right. You have to be a little tough.
That made me. Thick-skinned, right. And that's what I dish out to my friends still. You know, you got to be thick-skinned if you're going to hang out with me.
You know when people are busting your chops and busting your balls and decipher the difference there.
Yeah. You just got to know that I'm never serious. That's I don't take this whole story about the wood seriously.
Yeah. And man, he don't care about the wood.
He don't care about the wood.
Don't mess with my money.
He read about
don't mess
that
with my business.
In.
But other than that, everything is open game.
Okay. Now I tell you something else I want to tell people about, and I hope y'all on board with it. But the net neutrality thing that they trying to pass.
Yeah.
We don't want that to pass.
No, because they're putting clamps.
They're going to put the clamps on the internet. Yeah, like, I'm telling you.
Like China.
Call your local representatives for your state and tell them, vote no. I'm serious.
Have you been calling them?
I know you have. I've been calling twice a week.
You should go down there and give them the look.
I know. I am not. No. This is what I'm going to say. You are not.
Is that your meme you said to them?
Look, you are not.
All right.
Hey, we gotta get our engineer Kevin on there and make me a meme. You are not.
We need to get her on the echo. We want the reverb.
You are not. She's on the white mic.
But I'm telling you, we want to vote against that. I'm like, Absolutely. I'm like, you got all the sex harassment stuff going on, and we need to talk about the FCC net neutrality.
But that's what I'm saying.
I called the guy, the assistant director, who wants to.
What's the details on it? What are they trying to lock out?
Well, it's about the open. We have open market for the internet right
it's
now.
Still yeah. free.
It's still free.
To be.
Yeah.
Now they're trying to put a hold on it.
Yeah.
And then we'd be like China.
But I mean,
what's the government?
Are they letting the internet companies the provider, the grip? Yeah, what's the extent of it?
Let me get it out for you because, you know.
I mean, this is all internet based. This is a podcast. I mean.
Right.
I'm voting no. I'm just curious what I'm voting.
It's not
about
your vote. You're not going to be voting.
I'm not voting, but you know, I'm saying.
She gave me the eyeball. I know.
I'm going to give the eyeball too, right. Yeah.
You're going to give that. You are not.
You are not.
I will not.
You are not.
You're right.
I can't find it. Let me.
Kevin, you know about that? Net neutrality? What's the deal?
Here it is. It's the update. As of November 21st, the FCC has confirmed that they will vote on 12/14. That's coming up.
Next week.
Abolish the regulations that prevent internet service providers from blocking access to certain sites, throttling internet speeds, and otherwise controlling what websites and online services are available to their customers. Mm-hmm. So the four major ISP is Comcast, Time Warner Cable, Verizon, and AT&T have been lobbying against the 2014 net neutrality regulations, frustrated by the constraints placed on their ability to profit. You hear that? Profit.
Oh.
From those who need their services the most. They have specifically targeted the classification of ISPs as Title II services, a category that requires more strict federal oversight. We don't need that. So the new chairman, I can't pronounce it, so if I mess it up. He was a lawyer for Verizon. See, the engineer guy told us.
He knows the ins and
so
outs.
So he's the Ajit Pai. That's what I call AGITPAI. Has pledged to roll back these net neutrality protections with a softer Title I classification and will allow ISPs to instead make voluntary, unenforceable commitments. They will maintain the open market of internet. So we need to say,
no,
you are not.
Yeah, you
and,
are not.
If you want to contact Ajit Pai, you call him at 202-418-1000. Again, that number is 202-418-1000. You call and let Ajit know that you are not. You are having a serious disapproval of this FCC net neutrality.
What I want to know, though, you know what? This all starts with one asshole in Congress. Who's the asshole that even came up with the notion to do that? Someone got together a round table like this and said, you know what we need to do? Clamp down. I mean, who's the one who's the catalyst?
I don't know who it is. I think it's Ajit.
Ajit.
Or whoever.
Agent.
I thought she was saying agent at first.
Ajit, whoever he is. I think he came up and want to be the, you know, make.
But what's in
known.
It for him? The people that come up with that crap, what's in it? But just a sense of power. Right.
So
I understand
a lot
that.
Of times.
Tinfoil hats are
a lot
going
of
on.
Times they own a company. That is trickled
yeah.
down
an
to another
reason.
Kind
yeah.
of company. And, it's
it's about control.
Somehow, but
control.
It takes about 10 companies to find
it's
out
about
your partner.
Control.
Yes. And why should we control the open market internet?
I love it the way it is.
I mean,
leave it.
You know, so we need to vote.
Even all the snowflakes and everything else.
It's already as wild
as it
can get, right?
Yeah.
Right.
The internet can't get any crazier than what it is right now.
No,
we can't even
think. There's also the dark web.
We can't fathom anything crazier than what's already on it.
I know. And then I'm going to have to find, you know, this is going to mess up people with
podcasts.
And yeah. What about the kids who are going to those magnet schools that use computers and need
online
the tablets
courses,
and
online training?
I mean, I went to online college. And everything that I got is off the Wild World Web.
Yeah.
World Wide Web.
Oh,
worldwide.
That's what I'm sorry. World
you
Wide
are not.
Web.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, hey.
You know, the www.
F. All right. Anyway, on that note, hey, we're going to wrap it up and say.
You are not.
You are not.
You are not. All right.
Going
I'm
to
Jay
vote
Heish,
for that.
For Shay Lewis, for Chris Canfield.
Adios.
Revolutionary Designs is in the house. They're on
that's
Facebook.
Right.
Check them out.
That's
lots
me.
Of good pictures.
And
we and are.
He's single.
Right?
Yeah, that too.
Hagerstown's most eligible bachelor.
Woohoo!
I'm right here. I'm for rent.
And he's all know? About wood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey now. All right. It's The Hub Show. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, thehubshow.com. I'm Jay Heish. Hagerstown, keep your head up. We're out of here.
You've been listening to The Hub Show from Hagerstown, Maryland. Podcasting and broadcasting about everything local you need to know with your host, Jay Heish. Join us on our next podcast, coming soon.
Hey, this is AJ.
And this is Ben with Small Town Mentality Podcast. You can check us out on all social media platforms at Small Town Mentality Podcast. So get on there, click like, and follow us.
And help us out by subscribing to Small Town Mentality Podcast on the places you get your podcasts. Podcasts? What, you don't have a place to check out podcasts? Well, try TuneIn or Stitcher. We're also on iTunes and Google Play.
Come check us out. We're funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm funny.
We're going to leave this in.
All right.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye.